Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, I'm so excited to find out what the number one song in our Bowie countdown is.
Yes, this will be a real treat for the listeners.
And me too. As I was counting up the votes, I kept thinking about this big reveal.
Yeah, it's really going to be something.
I really, really wish I knew what the number one song is.
Well, Patrick, you know, since you counted up the votes, you should actually... Never mind. Cue the theme song. All right, it's been a long week, but we are here at the end of the Bowie countdown. Today is the day, numbers 3, 2, and 1.
Yeah, it's exciting, but also a little bittersweet at the same time. You know, it was so much fun to do this countdown, and you know, we recorded this a couple weeks back, and it's one of those things where you have a cool excuse to kind of go down a little Bowie rabbit hole, and it's fun to do that. And yeah, it's a little bittersweet that it's over, but it's also been so much fun that it's going to be really satisfying to reveal that number one song for everybody. And
I think we're going to put up a playlist on songs that got any votes, right? How many songs got at least one vote?
We had a total of, let me just double check my notes. I believe it was 97 songs got votes. So that blows away any of the previous countdowns we've done. As you might expect with an artist whose career stretched for more than, what, 4 decades, I guess. So
we're going to put together a 97 song David Bowie playlist on Spotify that if you get our newsletter... Yep. Today should be linked today, right? All right.
That's correct. So, it'll appear there. And you can fire it up on Spotify.
If you don't get our newsletter, go to suburbspod.com, click on newsletter, and sign up for that. All right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very simple.
Okay. And I want to give a big thanks to everyone who came to the virtual event that we did and commented on their favorite Bowie songs and so on. And, you know, you've heard those people throughout this week. You're going to hear people today on today's episode. And it was a really fun event that we did and a great community of people, of music fans, of Bowie fans. And we so appreciate all of your input.
Totally. Totally uplifting to have all those folks come and give their thoughts and everybody who voted as well. We had, as I said, 61 votes. So all the people who voted, all the comments you put in there, and all the time you took to do this rather challenging exercise. Not easy to narrow it down to 10 Bowie songs. So thanks to all.
Right. By 61 votes, you mean 61 people submitted top 10 lists.
61 different people made top 10 lists. Yeah, right. So. Right. Exactly. Okay, right. Yep.
There was a lot of math involved. All right.
Yes, there was.
All right, let's hit this top three here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Here's the exciting conclusion of David Bowie Countdown Week.
Ground control to Major Tom. 7, 6. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2. Check ignition. 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control.
All right, Space Oddity, or otherwise known popularly as Major Tom.
Major Tom came in third place with a good amount of votes. And I'll tell you this, one time, I don't know how old I was, but I was younger than I am now. And I took a shower. No, I took a bath, a really hot bath. And I came out of the bathroom and I went into my bedroom. I laid down on the bed and I had the radio, clock radio on. And this song was on. And I just started falling asleep, but it was right at that moment, right before you fall asleep and you're still somewhat conscious. And this song was on and I'll never forget it. It was just like, so I was so into it. I was like in space at that moment.
It has an otherworldly quality, obviously. Yeah. Right. And it's kind of sweeps and swells and takes you on a journey. But getting back to what we discussed earlier, I think it's not coincidental that this song came out in 1969.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
The moon landing year. He had a way of capturing that moment in history, right?
Right.
Maybe he wrote the music and then he's like, wow, this sounds really spacey. I better put some space words on these songs.
Just thinking about it backwards.
I need some space words. Yeah.
Okay, Nick?
Yeah, I had this as number one, and it was a tough choice because it's another one of those that you heard it a million times. Do I really put this number one? I was like, damn, this is number one. This is the song. I know it's his first big hit. But for me, this song is like, it's a movie, you know. There's a plot line, there are characters, you know. The musical touches add to that. So, for example, when it's him, when Major Tom is talking, it's the double track vocal. When it's Ground Control talking, it's just the single vocal.
Right.
You know, the music just fits all the plot points so perfectly. And then, you know, that part at the end, and I don't know if this is where you fell asleep, Patrick, but like that uncertainty at the end.
Yes.
Where it's just so, it's one of the most disturbing endings to a song that's probably ever been written, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't, I mean, Mike was talking about fairy dust and magic. Like, that's a moment of magic that you just really can't, it's so hard to capture. How they came up with that, I don't know. It's a fascinating song. It's been heard a million times, been used a million times. It's been used wrongly. It was used by the BBC during the moon landing coverage, notoriously. And I guess no one had actually listened to the lyrics, or some of the suits at the BBC were maybe not hip enough to have really thought about what that song is about. But yeah, for me, it's just signature, and it seemed a little bit of an on-the-nose choice, but I had to go with that for my number one.
Bill Mulligan, did you have a comment?
For me with this song, it's been rightly noted the cinematic scope, the feeling of it, but parts of it where his vocals have this tremulous, I don't want to say fearful quality, but it puts us... a person who's feeling small inside this vast picture. I just always am struck by that when I hear this song.
Well said.
That's a really good observation. Yeah, and sort of the fear and trepidation even of a like trained astronaut, right, going into space. Yeah. It's still an extremely frightening experience, right? And so, you know, he's sort of taking on the character or acting within the song. Okay, we ready for number two?
I think so.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man. We'll be right back.
All right. Of course, that's Changes. I mean, such a big song for Bowie that he named his, you know, one of the greatest hits albums after this, right? So a huge hit song and very big in the States, I think.
Yeah. And I'm always have been a big fan of using drums as kind of a hook in a song. And I just love that little snare drum stutter that's in the song that you heard there, you know, that it's so good. And
which goes with the vocal stutter.
Yeah, totally does. Yeah, yes. Totally does. And, you know, in many ways, we've talked a lot about the way Bowie assumed and discarded and in many cases, you know, neatly tidied up a lot of his personas and characters and phases. And this song kind of explains it in many ways. You know, he was, I think, so influential at defining movements and eras, personifying them. Like we've talked about him starting alt rock. We've talked about him being key and glam. You know, we talked about him doing Philly soul. We talked about him acknowledging things. I mean, you can even go so far as to, you know, talk about his last album, what he did with that and how I think for many of us, it's difficult to face it because of what we, you know, knew about it. I think when that record came out, it was like, this is a whole another, you know, phase of Bowie that's going to be going on. And then, you know, we learned the truth, but this song kind of says it all, you know, in kind of a look inside of his inner workings. If you could ever have such a thing.
Not a lot of comments on this one, people. So, I will say I like this comment here in the chat from Mike Snyder that says, mm-hmm. You know, referencing Bowie being sort of a chameleon and can change his delivery and performance, but he could also create different fan followings. And I think that's an interesting point too, that you can have a whole different set of songs that you like by David Bowie and really have like different music interests even. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, right, be a different right. kind of music fan and be into Bowie with a whole different set of songs.
Yeah, right. I was, as a Libra, I was trying to balance out the discussion in the chat room, trying to figure out what, you know, what the reality is. And the reality is, I mean, I think people like different, there's so much to get with Bowie. Like somebody else has said this, and I said this I think I put this on my notes when I turned in my poll.
Yep.
I could put in a whole nother 10 songs
yep.
and not even use the previous 10 songs and feel good about the list I put in.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I have this, and I think in my top 5 songs, Changes.
Yep.
I just think people may go to Bowie for different things, and that changes at different times, I think.
You know, I know this was a listener vote, and so I'm still kind of surprised that this ended up at number 2. Not that it's not a great song or that it wasn't a popular song and all of that, but to me, this sort of feels like the opposite of Life on Mars. I kind of feel like I would have expected this song might have dropped down a little bit over time, given mm-hmm. what other songs rising up. You know, this song mm-hmm. is, but I guess not. It's a consistent winner for Bowie. I mean, it's been popular forever, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, we're going to reveal the number one song. Would anyone like to guess what the number one song is before we reveal it? And again, this was a vote of your peers.
And I will say, if before anyone guesses, this one won going away, folks.
Yeah.
It was 3 or 4 lengths at the finish line. It wasn't even close.
I have a feeling we could all say it at once.
All right. 3, you know? 2, 1.
2, 1.
Heroes.
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 Can swim. Though nothing, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one.
Hey, you guys were right. Heroes. I'm curious. I mean, this was on my top 10, but I want to hear why you all think it's such a great Bowie song. Let's start with John Lamoureux.
Well, I should preface this by saying I don't always comment with my own personal experiences with things because I figure they may only be interesting to me. But I will about this one because so consider I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm the only person I know who knows really anything about David Bowie. I'm the only person I know who knows this song. So I've never heard it on the radio. It's not the ubiquitous borderline overplayed song that it is now. It's this thing that is completely just unique to me. And it hits me in a way that no other song I can think of ever has. And it's that the longer version, especially where he starts out singing in a normal register, and then about halfway through the clip you just played, he tears into this pure, naked anguish of a vocal that cuts right to the quick of anyone who is feeling something so desperately. And what's beautiful about it is that the otherworldly music that's going on at the same time is it is married to the anguish of the vocal so perfectly that it's there's nothing else quite like this. Now I know that the whole rest of the world knows this song, loves this song, we all do. But I didn't know that when I was 16 and I was feeling things because some girl didn't like me or I wasn't popular enough in high school or whatever. And so this was the soundtrack of that.
Wow.
And it's probably the soundtrack to a lot of us in our darkest time trying to find the dawn or trying to find something to feel positive about.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, it does have one of the easiest to grasp sort of messages of his songs, right? We could be heroes just for one day. Like that's, and there's something really kind of beautiful about that, that you don't have to live this exemplary life, but you could just do something this one day, right? Harris King, we haven't heard from you.
Yes. This is a great song. It's definitely in my top two or three. I'm a little surprised it's number one, to be honest, because like John, I have a very personal relationship to it. It's not one that was played over and over on the radio, like he said. And a few people in the chat mentioned the German version of it, which is great, by the way. The singing, his German pronunciation is really, really good. The lyrics have been changed to make sense. That's not just a direct translation. So that's wonderful. And it's also connected to a film from 1981, a German film, called Wir Kinder von Bahnhof Zoo, which means We Children of the Zoo Station, the same zoo station that you two sang about from Achtung Baby. And it's about heroin addicts, young children who are heroin addicts. And it's based on the real life story of this woman, Christiane F., who first took heroin at a Bowie concert in Berlin in like from 75 to 77. And Bowie's actually in the movie playing himself in the concert. So it's pretty amazing just how important it is. And, you know, go along with also, again, what John said, that we can all be heroes just for one day, no matter what's going on. So I want to speak German now. It's very dismal in ways, but it's also has this great hope to it. And it's just important. For me, for John, for a lot of people. So I'm very excited that it's number one, to be honest.
Wow, that's strong stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Stephen Routledge.
Got a few points on this one. Yeah, I mean, first off, I'd say, yeah, it's a cliche that it's number one, but sometimes cliches or stereotypes are there for a reason, because it's so good, you know, that's possibly why this was my number one on my list. But the thing that I would, a couple of things I'd add to that is, one, it's one of his simplest songs harmonically in its construction and how it's written, but sonically it is amazing. So what, you know, it's a very simple chord progression that's going on. There's nothing fancy going on there, you know, with the music theory or anything like that. But the noises that this amazing band that Eno and him have got in the studio there are making are phenomenal. So you've got this great pop song that is then garnished with this amazing sonic soundscape over the top of it. And it's simple in a way that a lot of the greatest sort of songs are. But also, this is one of the few songs that is unimprovable by a cover. Anyone covering this is on a hide into nothing. You cannot make this better than it is. Just, you know, you can try, but you're going to fail. So don't bother.
All right. Good points there. Patrick, why do you think this song has such resonance?
You know, it's an interesting question, Jim. I think that it does connect with people. I mean, that's what I would say. And, you know, and just, you know, on a song level, it's one of those tunes, you know, that you can really relate to. And to me, I think of it in the sense of, you know, if you think about this, or maybe, I don't know how much you romanticize it, but rock and roll was being filled with dinosaurs in the 70s, right? And as it marched toward 1977, which for me, you know, was when the dam burst and people got sick of it and started fighting back. Bowie was always different, though. He was never part of that. Like, the punks never derided Bowie. No one ever derided Bowie. No one said no Bowie in 77, right? It was always the Beatles and the Stones and, you know, Zeppelin and all those big dinosaurs. And
right, the famous Pink Floyd, you know, the Sex Pistols hating Pink Floyd.
All that, right. Yeah, but he was never part of that, right? He was always accepted because he was always chasing his own thing. And that's kind of the message of this song to me, is that, you know, it's what he did. And to me, I think having Changes in Heroes right at the top is kind of perfect for Bowie. I mean, he changed himself a lot, and he always chased his vision, and you can be a hero, essentially, is his message. So I don't know. That's the way I see it. I think that's why it came in number one. It's a very worthy top choice.
Tim Hoffman.
Yeah, this is a great song. I'm sure it was in my top 10. I can't remember where I put it, but it's not a complicated song musically, like, but it just works because the rhythm section just is rolling. Like, it doesn't, they just roll straight through. That same bass line is just like keeps going around. It's really good. And like John said, the vocals are just achingly beautiful. Like, yeah, when he cuts up an octave or starts really, you know, getting loud, and there's just a lot of emotion in the middle of the song. I think what also works for me for this song was, like, when I was listening to it when I was younger, was like, again, like, all of a sudden, like, there's he's talking about dolphins in the song, and I'm like, okay. Like, that, I thought about it, and then, it's this song seems like very much like one person speaking to another person. I would be king, you'd be queen, like that. So there's that romantic aspect to it. Like, this is a song that I probably put on, you know, several mixtapes for girls that I like had fallen in love with as a high school kid or as a college student. You know, it might not have done what I wanted it to. It didn't work out, but, you know, like, that's how I felt at the time. And I couldn't say it with my own words, but I'm like, this song, she'll understand how I feel.
There you go.
Because I'm put Heroes right at the, you know, at the first song on the second side of the cassette. So she'll get how I feel.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that, man. Sometimes I'm not so good using the talkie round hole, but if you let me pick a song, I can do that. Yeah. Well said, man.
Okay. A few more quick things here. These are some of the songs that just missed the cut.
They
just got a little bit more of a push. Would have gotten them over the top. But nothing probably too surprising here. I'm Afraid of Americans, Queen Bitch, Golden Years, Fashion, and The Gene Genie.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go real quickly, I just want to open up the floor one last time. Was there any like song that you feel so passionate about? Is a great David Bowie song that was not in the top 15 that you'd like to advocate for now?
I'm going to advocate for one. Secret Life of Arabia. I'm the weirdo who made the one vote for that song on his list. It's probably my favorite Bowie song. It took me years to discover it because I'm not crazy about the instrumentals at the end of this on the second sides of Heroes and Low. and this one is buried at the end of Heroes after the instrumentals. The funkiest bass line you'll ever hear. George Murray, Dennis Davis, and Carlos Alomar create this rhythm that is so infectious, so amazing. I don't feel like enough people know this song. Go listen to it. It's the best.
Dude, I had not heard that song, dude, until you, when I was grading,
that's awesome.
When I was tallying your ballot and I listened to it, I was like, what the fuck is this thing? It's crazy. It's so good.
Yeah, so good, and hardly anyone knows it's there.
So bizarre.
So
yeah,
cool.
It's
okay.
Like one of those things where you're like, what the?
Jason Goble.
A few people chimed in on the chat, but Station to Station, I think, is my number one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's three songs that, you know, basically fit great together. You know, I guess it's part of my jam band thing in me that it is his longest song, I think. And, you know, his vocals on it are great. And just each part of it is great. The, you know, the return of the Thin White Duke into the faster guitar part into the It's Too Late at the end. I love that song.
Yeah, I mean, Bowie could have done a jam band and been good at it. That's how great he was, man, right? Yep. I want to say Rob Gates. Is Rob Gates still on? Seriously, I'm not kissing up to him because I think he's mad at me, but he put Big Brother at the top of his list. I'd love to hear him talk about that.
It's a great song. It's on Diamond Dogs. I always liked it, but when I saw it live, it really lit up for me. It was an amazing experience to see it performed live. And again, it showcases a lot of different ranges, not as much as Station to Station does, but sort of, you know, in that same vein. And then, of course, it ends with, you know, with the chant of the ever-living. So, you know, that rah, 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 rah,
yeah,
thing at the end. But the just the opening of it is so eerie and so haunting, and the everything about, I just love that song so much.
It's so great, man. And that's another one I didn't know. So thankful for this Bowie countdown of finding these gems that I didn't really know or had, you know, never paid attention to.
Tim Hoffman.
Real quick, 1999's Bowie album, Hours, is great. And I probably would have put four songs off of there, you know, if this were a top 25 list. Thursday's Child, If I'm Dreaming My Life, Seven. But the song that I think I was the only one who voted for from that record is the second song on the album, called Something in the Air. And it's just a great song with,
yeah,
it's just so, so good. And speaking of movies, EPJ, it's, I remember watching this movie called Brick. I don't know if anyone has ever seen that movie. But
yeah, is that about the high school kids who like get involved in like a crime situation? Yeah, I've seen that.
At the very end, the closing credits is that song, Something in the Air. And I remember watching that movie and that came out.
Yeah,
great.
I would recommend looking at, you know, it's not just Jojo Rabbit. He's been putting, there's been great use of his music in film for years.
Yeah.
Okay. Harris.
Yeah, real quick. I love Panic in Detroit. It's one of the best songs.
Great song.
It's got the groove.
It's got the
riffs. And there's a Major League Baseball player named Joe Panic. I think he plays for the Giants. I really want him to play for Detroit. So he can use Panic in Detroit as music. So.
Oh, my God. We got to get that guy traded. How much money do we need to raise, like, on FanDuel?
All right. Thanks, everybody. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
we'll talk
guys.
To you all later.
Appreciate it.
All right, Patrick, I'm exhausted. I don't know about you.
Yeah, totally exhausting, Jim. Feels great to do it. It was like we said, a lot of hard work, a lot of fun. Everybody out there are heroes to me, Jim. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Sorry if your favorite songs didn't make the top 15. It was, you know, there are a lot of songs that got votes, so you're not alone in that.
Not at all. That is right. And, you know, as we mentioned at the top, look out for that Spotify playlist, and you can check out everything that got votes in one handy place.
I just thought it was really fun to just re-examine the work of this amazing artist. And
oh, totally.
It was great for me that it was great to just go back and listen to all these records and try to figure out my top 10. Right. And I was like,
oh,
man,
yeah, so much fun.
It was
yeah.
tough. It was a tough one.
It really was.
Okay. Next week, we'll do something else.
Yeah, totally.
That's all I can say right now. But keep with us. If you're new to our show, stick with us. We talk about classic yeah. rock, you know, like this. We talk about newer stuff. We have whole new music episodes. We, you know, revisit artists you love. It's, you know, it's all over the place and a lot of different styles of music, too. Yeah. So.
Totally. Interviews. We'll go on. Seems like we go on these interview streaks, you know, right. We'll do like a thing where we hit a hot streak and do a bunch of interviews and all kinds of stuff. So stick around. We'd love to have you.
Also, if anybody has more comments on Bowie, can follow that up. We would love to. You know, we know not everybody could make the event that we did where we had listener comments there for these episodes. But
great point.
But we can follow up. So what you want to do there, you have three options here. You can first you can start with social media. That's one thing to do. I'm sure there's going to be some discussion threads around this episode. So you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all those with the handle Suburbs Pod. So that's one thing to do. And please, you know, follow us on those places for future episodes and discussion and all that stuff as well. Yeah. It's a great place to see what's going on with the show. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com. That's another thing you can do. And you can either type up an email or you can send a voice memo there. And a lot of people do that. And then we play that on an upcoming show. Or if you'd rather just, you know, pick up the phone and call, leave a message. The number is
612-440-1984.
And then of course, you know, you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. That's really becoming the platform of choice for a lot of podcast listeners, Spotify. Yeah. There's also Stitcher. There's Amazon. We're on Amazon now. We're on iHeart, I believe. We're like I don't know, all the places. All the places you can podcast is where we are. So wherever you're listening to this now, just, you know, hit the subscribe button or the follow button or whatever that platform has, and you'll keep getting episodes, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Easy as pie.
All right, let's get out of here, and we'll entertain the peoples with something else next week. All right?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll talk to you all later.
Funniest thing about this whole night was when Mackenzie said, I don't know if you guys are on TikTok. Yeah, like we're on TikTok. Exactly. I don't even know what that is. Do you have to have a cell phone to get it? Because I don't have one. I have Cricket, my wireless.